Some people think that whatever you believe to be true, to you it is true. And what another person believes to be true, so that's true for him, not me. So everybody has their own truth, even if it flatly contradicts other people's truth. For years, people used this idea to justify disagreements and contradictions between the denominations. One interpretation is as good as another. In effect, this means that people can't understand the Bible alike, so whatever it means to you and whatever's right for you, even if it contradicts everybody else, however you see it, that's it. As long as you practice what you honestly believe the Bible to say, God will be pleased. As a result, some people will not even seriously listen to views that differ from their own. They think it doesn't matter anyway, so why discuss it? But the purpose of our study today, I said today, because this lesson ain't going to end this morning. I kind of painted myself into a corner. I got started studying, and I kept studying, and I had too much material for just one lesson. So I'm going to preach the rest of it this afternoon. I hope you'll bear with me. But the purpose of our study is to investigate the idea of one belief or one interpretation of the Bible is as good as another. And we want to examine what the Bible itself says about this issue. And, of course, we know many people have never really considered the Bible by itself and that the Bible may speak about this issue, and it should be given some consideration. Obviously, different views of the Bible do exist. The question is whether or not all of these views are acceptable to God. Is it possible that a person may be lost, even though they follow a view of the Bible that they sincerely believe to be true? Well, this, of course, introduces the question, what does it mean to interpret the Bible? Well, the word interpret is defined as to set forth the meaning of, to explain, to translate what is said in a foreign language. An idea or a meaning may be properly expressed using different words, but to interpret properly, one must give the true meaning. Okay? Now, illustration. A speaker expresses in one language, and an interpreter may express the same meaning in different words of a different language. But if the interpreter gives a different meaning, then his interpretation is inaccurate. This is one of the things that whenever they're in the United Nations meetings, they want an interpreter who will not only tell them what the words mean, but what is being expressed by the statements that are made. Because there's a certain amount of body language and expression that doesn't come across by just putting the words down. So then, it may be proper to interpret the Bible, provided one gives the same meaning as in the original language. There are translations out there that are not accurate. When we go to the Greek text and the Hebrew text and look at the words that were used, what they put down in the Bible text is in a 42nd cousin to it. Furthermore, even in the same language, if it's in the same language, it may be proper to use various different words and illustrations and applications to help explain the meaning of the Bible. I don't know if you are aware of this or not, but back in Nehemiah 8 and verse 8, when they were rebuilding the temple and they were returning to the book of the law, it says they distinctly read from the book in the law of God. Now listen, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. They didn't just read bare words, they explained what they mean. Proper interpretation requires giving a true and faithful explanation of the real meaning and intent of the original message. To change the meaning or to express a different meaning would be improper. It would be actually a perversion and not an interpretation. So, the question is, what do people mean when they say one interpretation of the Bible is as good as another? Well, the statement is nearly always made to justify people who want to defend contradictory views of the Bible. And it's clear from the way that the people make the statement. For example, one may say, well, baptism must be by immersion. So sprinkling or pouring is not valid. Then another person says they believe sprinkling and pouring is acceptable. Then someone concludes, well, it really isn't important anyway. It's all a matter of interpretation. In short, people are saying that truth is subjective. It varies from person to person. And so this approach is used to justify people who contradict one another regarding a myriad of beliefs and practices. The real question that we're studying here is, may people get conflicting and contradictory beliefs and doctrines and practices from the Bible, yet all be pleasing to God? That's the question. And to answer it, I want us to consider some specific questions and see what the Bible says about them. And the first one is the most important one. That is, does the Bible contradict itself? If the Bible contradicts itself, people could properly interpret the Bible and end up disagreeing with one another simply because the Bible disagrees with itself. And this seems to be acceptable to some people. But when we examine the Bible, we found out that God is the author of the Bible. God is the one who inspired it. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, if God is the one who inspired it, what does this mean? It means that God contradicts himself. Well, let's consider the implications of this. Jesus said that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Of course, he's referring to the kingdom of Satan. But how could God be the King of Kings and contradict himself? Can't do it. In fact, think about it. If a person works against himself, how will he ever accomplish anything? When parents give contradictory instructions, how will children know what to do? Well, yesterday you said, do this. And now you're telling me something different? You can kind of think about the mechanic who fixes your car so it goes into forward and reverse gears both at the same time. Well, it's fixed. How could you go anywhere? You couldn't. You couldn't. So, if God contradicts himself, if he teaches people to believe and practice opposite things at the same time, how can he expect to accomplish his purpose? We have scripture that says that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33. This is something that Paul stated as a matter of fact. If God is the author of confusion, then he's got a bunch of confusion out here. And that doesn't do a bit of good. So we ask the question now, is the existence of many conflicting doctrines a source of confusion? Yeah, you bet it is. You bet. Yet if proper Bible interpretation leads to these contradictions, then who is it that you blame for this confusion? Oh, God. That's who. But the scripture says we should not blame God for the existence of confusion. He is the source of peace. Thus, God is not responsible for conflicting Bible interpretations. He never wanted it this way. Never. Now, it necessarily follows that God's word has a true and correct meaning. Since the Bible doesn't contradict itself, when we interpret it correctly, we will not contradict one another. Conflicting explanations are not correct or not true. And since contradictory views are not from God, where do they come from? They must be from men. But in religion, doctrines from men make our service from God, our service to God, vain. Read Matthew 15, verse 9. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. It's not safe to put our trust in men. We have to trust in what God said and do what God said. But another result of this attitude towards the Bible is it creates a divided Christ. Oh, I love Christ and I'm worshiping Christ and I do this. Oh, I love Christ and Well, what are you doing something just the opposite for? Well, I worship Christ. But Paul, very plainly, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 13 asks the question, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Let's chew on that a bit. Paul was not crucified for us, was he? No, not at all. We are not baptized in the name of Paul. So then, what's your conclusion? Christ is not divided. And what does this imply? He does not conflict and disagree with himself. Think about this. He does not conflict and disagree with himself. This whole concept of saying that Jesus contradicts himself would be to say that he is either ignorant or hypocritical. Think about this. Well, Jesus said this to me. He said, do this. No, he said, do this. It just depends on which side of him you're standing on. That doesn't make any sense. Or maybe he isn't intelligent enough to know that he contradicts himself. Or else he is morally bankrupt and does it on purpose. Now, you know and I know people who tell you things that aren't true on purpose. I'm not going to talk about politicians. But it's just one of the things we know. They don't always tell the truth. But they're politicians. And they're not Jesus Christ. Both of these ideas are blasphemous. To think that Jesus tells some people one thing, another people something else, and we don't know who to believe. If Jesus does not contradict himself, then people who properly understand what he says will not contradict one another either. Now, think on that. If people do contradict one another, it must be because someone misunderstands what Jesus said. That's right. Now, what about God's will for man's salvation as it's revealed in the Bible? Well, we go from one place to another. We find people being told, only believe. Salvation is fully involved in what you believe. And if you believe right, then you're saved. And people buy it. Without any further investigation, they just buy it. But what did Jesus say? What did Jesus say? He said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. In Mark 16, verse 15, 16. Preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, question. What did Jesus say it took to be saved? That doesn't take a genius to figure out. That doesn't take a genius. It's simple. Yet, they say, oh, no, no. All you have to do is believe. Just believe. Well, that's not what that says. And let's just go a little further. What did the apostles preach on Pentecost in Acts 2? Well, they told the people in verse 36 to know assuredly that this Jesus whom you've crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. They were told to believe it. Know assuredly. Verse 37 says they believed it. So much so that they were cut to the heart. And they said, men and brethren, what can we do? And what do we see there? We see Peter saying, only believe and you'll be saved. No, we don't see Peter saying any such thing. We see Peter saying, first of all, you got to repent. And then you got to be baptized. And then what will be received? The remission of sins. Simple as that. Well, where did he get that? He got it from Jesus. Got it from Jesus. But as you read through your New Testament, you find out that God's plan for the salvation of man is a unified, harmonious unit within itself. And you find out that from one account to another, it does not contradict itself. And it has real and true meaning. Now get this. And all who understand its meaning will understand it the same way. That's right. When people disagree about its meaning, we must conclude that they both have equally valid interpretations. No. What do we conclude? We conclude that one or the other or both of them have misunderstood and misinterpreted. It only means one thing. When Jesus said in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me. He didn't open up a Pandora's box of different ideas that you can come up with and God's going to accept them. No. No, he didn't. He said, I am the way. There's only one way. And that one way will be found when we properly understand and interpret God's word in regard to salvation. Now, I've said all of that to say this. I'm going to preach the rest of this lesson this afternoon too. I hope that you're interested enough that you'll come back and that you'll give this a fair hearing, and we'll find out what the Bible means. We'll find out that two people can't have equal interpretations, but that one or the other of them both could be bad if they don't agree with the Bible.